7 other people on here besides me tonight. That's awesome. It's so nice to see you guys' faces. A couple faces I can't see. I just have names, but I still know who you are. So there's you're not anonymous to me. It's funny because when I was reading about this step today, one of the things that I really was thinking about was the fact that I don't know what's going on with my camera. Sorry, guys. Was the fact that part of getting sober, a big part of getting sober for me.
I'm sorry.
Was. Okay. But I was going to say, I don't have a dog. Part of sober for me is the fact that I need to be responsible. Sorry. Technical issues here again. I'll tell you what, Spectrum is really just making me crazy. And so the thing that I was thinking about was, you know, I need to be responsible and I need to follow the rules. And, you know, that wasn't something I did. I didn't follow the rules. I didn't pay attention to any rules. I just kind of did whatever I wanted to do. And in thinking about that today, I realized that, you know, that for me, growing up, following the rules goes right along with paying my bills, you know. All the things that we need to do as sober, responsible people. And I had to go to the grocery store today. Actually, I had to go to 3 because you can't get everything you need at one store. And there were a lot of people who were not social distancing. And if they were wearing masks, they were wearing them incorrectly. And for me, you know, I'm going to follow the rules. It doesn't matter whether I agree with them or not. They're there for a reason and they're there to protect me. And as much as I don't like to admit it, you know, most rules are there to protect me, which is good because I need to be protected for myself a lot, much less so now that I'm sober. But yeah, I need to be protected for myself because, you know, I was very self-destructive. And so, you know, to grow up really is a lot of what sobriety is for me. And step 10, you know, helps me to be an adult. It just helps me be an adult all the time. There we go. I think I'm back now. And it talks in here that, you know, what I'm supposed to do with step 10 is this is my personal inventory. Do I take it every day? No. Do I do it 4 or 5 times a week? Yes. If I'm going through some, you know, particularly rough patch or whatever, then I do it every day because I know that I have a tendency to take things out on other people if I'm not spiritually fit. Step 10's not really much of an issue right now because, you know, it's only like I don't see any people really except for Jack. So I'm not doing a lot of damage, I don't think. And he may disagree with that. I don't know. But this is to set right any new mistakes. You know, I did a 4th and 5th step and I looked at my defects of character in 6 and 7 and I made amends to the best of my ability. And so now this is to kind of keep my side of the street cleaned off. And, you know, and it says here, our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. And, you know, continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear when these crop up, which implies that they are going to. It doesn't say if, it says when. You know, we ask God at once to remove them, and that's the prayer for that. And then we discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone. And I have to kind of, you know, sometimes I can figure this out without help. Doing this, the 10th step seems to be, there's a lot shorter period of time between realizing that I need to make an amend and actually being able to do it. You know, it would take me a while before to, because I'd have to get over that whole, you know, self-justification and martyrdom and victimhood and all those, you know, little things that I really liked to, you know, dabble in on a regular basis. I don't stay there as long. I'm sure I still go there. I know I do, but I don't stay there as long because it isn't comfortable anymore. when I'm owning my own stuff, there's a lot of freedom in that. There's a lot of freedom that goes along with responsibility, with being a grown-up. There's a lot of freedom that goes along with that. And allergies are making me crazy today. So, and this is where it talks about, you know, we have ceased fighting anyone or anything, and including alcohol, because sanity will have returned, which basically just means to me that I know what my alcoholism is, and I know how to, you know, have a daily reprieve. And that's how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. And, you know, because I have a daily reprieve. And if I don't, you know, take care of my spiritual condition, that reprieve could go away really quickly, and I might not see it coming. And I'm one of those people that I don't do this because I'm afraid to not do it. I do this because I like the feeling. I like the freedom. I like, you know, what goes along with having a clear conscience. And those are things that, you know, I never had when I drank. I, you know, was a constant mess. I was full of guilt, fear, shame, and remorse. And I don't like those feelings. And so, you know, I don't like to entertain them anymore. And, you know, and then it says in here too, you know, every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. And that's another prayer. So there's two prayers in the 10th step. And, you know, sometimes that's not exactly how I say them. There may be some other colorful words that I add in there. But, you know, the intention now is good. I like my life today. I like growing spiritually. I like looking inside. I like cleaning up the wreckage. I was talking to somebody the other day. I love this Zoom. Of course, want to get back to regular meetings eventually, but I love this because I get an opportunity to do FaceTime with some of my friends. And, you know, sometimes it's just one or two of us and we're just kind of chatting for 20 minutes or a half an hour or whatever. And I was talking to somebody the other day about this, and this is the step for me that really solidifies my spiritual grounding, I guess. This is the step that anchors me, I think. Because now where I'm at is I'm in steps 10, 11, and 12. That doesn't mean, of course, that I don't go back and do the other ones if I need to. But, you know, 10, 11, and 12 are the ones that, you know, step 10 grounds me, and it keeps me, you know, in the present, because if I'm not in the present, then I'm usually in trouble. You know, I'm worrying about something, or I'm mad about something, or, you know, I'm missing a lot. And so step 10 is the one for me that really grounds me in the present. And I need that, you know. When I was at the store today, well, I went to three stores, and I was, I'm not good in stores anymore. It's certainly taken care of my shopping addiction, this virus. And I'm not comfortable in stores like I used to be. But I'm very aware of my surroundings. And, you know, I also have to, you know, again, step 10 here, I don't want to have to make amends to people I don't know. So I'm keeping my mouth shut. You know, it's not my job to tell people that they need to put a mask on. You know, it's not my job to tell them that they're not wearing it right. But it inconveniences me in a way that, you know, I have to take longer in the store or whatever it is that I have to do. But in that, you know, because I don't want to make amends to somebody I don't know, it's also a whole lot of the, you know, keep my mouth shut. This is where sometimes I don't need to make an amend or give an apology. I just need to keep my mouth shut. And that's difficult. I'm not a good keep my mouth shut kind of person. And, but that's what it is for me now. And so I don't know if I have anything else to say. I think I might be done. Thank you. Hi, Jack. I know, short tonight, I know. There he goes. You're unmuted now, Greg.
All right. Thank you, Terry. So we're going to open this up now to questions. If you have a question for Terry, feel free to unmute yourself and let her know what you're thinking. Who's going to be first?
Hi, Terry. I'm Todd. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
My question is, if I've heard it said several times, and I find this to be true, but I want to see what your opinion is on it. I've heard it said on several accounts that if you do your step 10 most every day, if not every day, you know, that keeps you from having to go back and do step 4 more often. Do you find that to be true for your own personal experience?
No, I actually don't. What step 10 is for is to, and it says, we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. There's things that have come up, things that God and I weren't ready to deal with, whatever those things might have been. And there are times when I do have to go back and I have to do another fourth and fifth step, or maybe I don't need to do that. Maybe I just need to do a step 6 and 7 again, and then look at whether or not I need to make some more amends. But for me, step 10 is for today, and steps 4 and 5 and actually 6, 7, 8, and 9 are not steps 4 and 5 are for the past. And 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 are for the present. That's just kind of how I look at it. Sometimes I have to write it down. I have to do a thorough fourth step on a certain thing. You know, maybe it's a relationship issue, or, you know, maybe I'm, you know, if I have to sit down and write a fourth step out, there's something I'm avoiding. And I won't see that in just a step 10. I have to write it down and take a look at it. Thanks.
Very good. Thanks.
Okay, who's next?
I can't even see all the people who are here.
Hey, Terry, it's Helen. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Helen.
I have a question for you. I got to take, you know, I can't let Kevin get ahead of me on this. I was thinking, I had one situation. It doesn't matter. But have you ever, either as a sponsor or a sponsee, in discussing something that just happened in their life, tell them that they don't owe an amends in that situation, or be told that you don't owe an amends in that situation?
Yeah, there actually was one situation in my life that I didn't owe an amend. And there have been times in my sponsees, you know, going through this, that they didn't owe an amend either. Because sometimes the only person that I heard is me. Hi, Beverly. Sometimes the only person I heard is me. And so, you know, it could be a situation where the other people has no idea, you know, have no idea of whatever it is that's going on in my insane mind. And it doesn't happen very often, but sometimes it does. The only person that I really need to make an amend to is me, because it would do more harm than it would good.
Thanks, Terry.
Okay. Thank you, Helen.
All right, who's up next?
Hi, Terry. It's Sabrina, alcoholic. Sorry, I thought somebody else was trying to talk.
There she is.
Okay, my question is, should we or should I think about the good things that I did during the day rather than just the negative things that I might owe an amends for?
I think in the 10th step, we should look at the things that we did right. You know, that's the fourth step is for basically looking at my defects of character and, you know, cleaning house with those. But I think in step 10, you know, I need to look at, okay, yeah, I did these things wrong, but I did this right. And because we can have a tendency to be really hard on ourselves, I think. And so for me, step 10, you know, kind of goes along with, yeah, I can take a look at, you know, what did I do today? You know, what did I do today? Where was I tolerant? Where was I loving? Because it's easy for me to forget that, you know, I'm not the person that I used to be. And I do, you know, do some good things. And a lot of times it's just, you know, it's not like I need to go around and tell anybody, look how cool I was today, because it's about me and God. But I do think, yeah, in step 10, you can look at the good things too. Boy, there's a lot of people here.
Yeah.
Who's got a question next?
Hi, Jim, alcoholic.
Quite a bunch tonight. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
So, Terry, do you find that... let's say you said that, you know, you don't necessarily do a conscious step 10 every night. Do you find that maybe the nights that you do, it's because you already know that something happened during the day and you don't really have to think about it? Like you already know it happened. And, or if you, you know, do you stop and think, you know, if tonight's the night, I'm going to think about it. Well, geez, oh yeah, there was that. Maybe I did the same thing yesterday too that I did today, and maybe I better nip this thing before it gets away from me.
Yeah, you know, that is actually probably true a lot of the time, and I never really looked at it like that, but yeah, that's quite true a lot of the time, I'm sure, because, you know, I pretty much know when I'm being a jerk, and sometimes I don't really want to just not be a jerk right away. So I still know, you know, I still know that I was a jerk. And there's probably actually very few instances where when I'm doing a step 10, I say, oh, wow. And I, like you said, I already know that I did whatever it was that I did, and I need to make an amend for it. But sometimes I surprise myself, and I'm laying there and I'm, you know, and I'm praying about it, and something will come up that I didn't even remember. You know, I've had to go back into convenience stores and apologize to cashiers and stuff for being a jerk, because, you know, I'm pretty entitled sometimes. And that's the kind of stuff that, you know, that's the kind of stuff that pops up, you know, not too often anymore, but when it does, it's like, you know, I gotta deal with this. I gotta make this right. And it's, yeah, I usually know when I'm a jerk. So, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Who's next?
Hey, Terry, Jim again, one more thing. Hey, is there like, what's kind of small enough that it really doesn't demand an amends, you know, like maybe just an improper tone? Could that possibly not really demand an amends? Or if you know that you used the wrong tone, probably just a, you know, a simple maybe apology might be the course of action.
Yeah, I have to do that, because I can get, you know, I can get pretty arrogant with my tone sometimes. And so, yeah, it's like, man, you know, I'm and usually I can pick up on that kind of stuff right away and try to say, you know what, I'm really sorry, that was rude. And, you know, a lot of times I do pick up on that right away, and a lot of times I don't. But so then I have to look at it, you know, when I'm reviewing my day. Because I can, you know, be really high and mighty and, you know, superior to everybody, and, you know, not as often, but that's still there.
Okay. who's next?
Okay, somebody. Hi, Jack.
Go ahead, Jack. Hi, Terry. I do have a couple of questions. When you're working with someone new and you're, excuse me, on the 10th step, do you suggest that they might look at this at a particular time of day, or maybe think about, you know, writing it out, or any sort of checks like that to, you know, keep them on track? Do you have any thoughts on that, those sorts of things?
Well, you know, it doesn't really give me a specific time frame for when I do this. And for me, I usually do it at night. When I was working full time, I didn't do it at night because I was too tired. But you can do it, you know, you can do it anytime during the day. And what I try to say to the women that I sponsor, if we're at that point, is just try to pick the same time every day so that you get into the habit, because it's easy to forget. It's easy to forget that, you know, I have to continue to, you know, enlarge my spiritual life. And so I try to say, you know what, pick a time during the day. It doesn't matter when it is, just pick a time during the day. You can do it while you're taking a shower. You know, it doesn't really matter when. And but now that I'm not working and not going anywhere, I usually do mine at night.
Thank you.
Who's next?
Come on, you guys. Kevin's going to jump in there. You know he is.
I'm biting my tongue. I'm biting my tongue.
Can you hear me yet?
Yes.
I can hear you.
Yes. Beverly. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Beverly.
Hey, Beverly.
Hi, Terry. I just want to tell the group what a wonderful AA person you are. That you and I have been together for so many years. We still depend on each other when we have a problem, because mm-hmm. in my mind, there is no perfect sponsorship. You know, we shouldn't put anybody on a pedestal. And I'm sure I let the girls I sponsor know that, because you help me as much as I help you. And it was an honor for me to do these 12 steps. And I didn't get to hear you every week, but I know everything that I hear. It's nothing new to me. It's just great knowing you. And I just wanted to let the group know that you, sometimes people get mad at you and they'll call me and I'll say, well, that's Terry. She loves Alcoholics Anonymous, and she's not going to bend. And so if they don't like you, Terry, that's on them. Then they better take an inventory. I love you. That's it. Thank you. Nice seeing all of you.
I love you, too. So there you guys. See, I'm a nice person. Beverly says so.
One down, 7 billion to go.
Yes.
Hi. Greg, I have a question. I'm Bridget. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Bridget.
Hi, Bridget.
That was amazing, your testimony about your sponsee. But I guess what I want to ask Terry, in light of Bev being your sponsor and you talking about the 10th step, what is your thinking about all the years that you've been in the program and relying on a sponsor to help guide you, even though you've had all these years of experience in the program and you've had this, I don't know how long you and Terry have been together, but a sponsor, when it comes to doing a daily inventory, do even you, with all of this experience, reach out to your sponsor sometimes to clarify if maybe an amends is needed?
Yes. I hate when people say this, but I'm going to say it. I probably don't call her as often as I should. But our relationship, she's been my sponsor since 1990. So we've been together a long time. And so, you know, a lot of times because we've been together for so long, because we spent so much time together, we're more friends than, you know, sometimes she calls me and she does a 10 step with me, you know, and sometimes I do one with her. And we're more friends now than sponsee. That doesn't mean that there aren't times that I do say, hey, you know what, I'm jammed up about this. What should I do? And, but also, you know, I hear her. She's always in my head. Check your motives and pray about it. Keep your mouth shut. Be nice to Jack. So, you know, because we know each other so well, a lot of times that's what it is. Now, you know, now when I call her, a lot of times it's just for because, you know, not necessarily I don't get jammed up as much. It's rare that there's something that I really don't trust my own instincts to handle. And that's when I call her, because, you know, I need to sometimes make sure that it's not about ego, that my ego is out of the way. And she's really good at telling me whether it is or it isn't. So yeah, I'm gonna call her as long as she's around and I'm around.
Thank you, Terry. Bridget.
If anybody else, who else has a question?
Well, it's Helen here again.
Oh, good.
Wait, Helen.
Go ahead, hi, Helen. Helen, I'm an alcoholic. And, you know, I was thinking about that. You know, that doesn't really say we have to go make amends. That says we promptly admitted it. And do you think that, you know, every once in a while I get a little nasty when I used to drive a lot with anonymous people that didn't drive the way I thought they should. Mm-hmm. And is it okay just to admit that to my sponsor or someone else in AA? And how prompt is promptly? It's always bothered me.
Well, Helen, I'll tell you. Because it does say we discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone. I probably am always going to, in my own mind, feel that I'm a better driver than everyone around me. So I totally understand, you know, if that makes perfect sense to me. So I'm better at it. When someone else is in the car now, I don't go off the handle as much when somebody else is in the car. But when I'm in the car by myself, it's pretty much, you know, that all bets are off. You're a moron. You're an idiot. Why are you going so fast? Why are you going so slow? Why are you in this lane? Why don't you use the turn signal? Who taught you how to drive? But for me, now for me, that's more of like it's entertaining to me that I'm just think that I'm so special, you know, and I'll hear myself running all this stuff out and it's like, yeah, okay, well, you know, Miss Perfect, because you've never made a mistake driving. So, you know, do I need to, I don't know. I mean, I admit that a lot, you know, that I like to, you know, think that I'm a better driver. So, do I owe amends? Well, if I do, oh well, that's probably going to be where, if I honestly think that I, and there are of course times that I do make driving errors and I try to catch myself and, you know, say, I'm sorry. But that's, I think a lot of the times where, you know, that comes back to, if I really think I need to owe an amend to somebody I don't know and may not see again, that's where the whole, you know, anonymous random acts of kindness comes in. And because sometimes I can't make amends, but I still need to do something. And because it's about clearing my conscience. And so that's kind of what I do. But the rest of the time, yeah, I just yell at everybody around me. I don't know if that's an alcoholic trait, but I think a lot of us have it. So probably not going to get over that.
Who's next?
All right, Kevin, it might be.
All right, I guess it's
one. Oh, Rick. Hi, Rick.
All right, Rick.
I was just going to ask, is there ever going to be a St. Terry? Maybe the next time around, but not on this go around. Absolutely not.
Hi, Terry. It's Jim.
Jim?
I was looking at the step as you were talking, and it talks about motives.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I've been hearing a lot from people lately, and it's right in here, it says, we were depressed and complained we felt bad, when in fact we were mainly asking for sympathy and attention.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that a lot nowadays. You know, we live in a society where we have basically everything we want and everything we need, and we still complain constantly. And I think that's where that inventory comes in a lot, you know, where you have to look down and say, really, is it really that bad, you know? The other thing it talks about is we thought we were helping others to understand when actually our true motive was to feel superior, mm-hmm, by pulling someone down. We sometimes hurt those we love because they need to be taught a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God she's in the other room, you know. But, I mean, some of these things manifest themselves when you have a lot of time to sit and think and not do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good thing to try to, you know, besides taking the inventory, try to stay busy in your day instead of sitting around trying to figure all this out, because that's when you could drive yourself crazy, you know. And I like the way the book, you know, puts it when it says, having so considered our day, not admitting to take due note of things well done, and having searched our hearts with neither fear nor favor, we can thank God for the blessings we've received and sleep in good conscience. I think that sums it up pretty well. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jim.
Sure.
I'm an alcoholic and my name's Terry. You know, it's one of the things that I've really been trying to be conscious of is being grateful. Because it is easy to, you know, sit around and, oh, man, you know, I can't see my friends. I can't give them hugs. I really have nothing to complain about at all. Nothing. That doesn't mean I can't manufacture something, but you're right. I think we need to stay busy. I think alcoholics need to stay busy, because I think we get easily bored, and then we get easily bored, at least for me. And then I go into that victim and martyr thing and I feel sorry for myself. No, poor me, you know? And so, you know, for me, it's, you know, I have to stay busy, and I have to do something for somebody else every day, whatever it is. You know, maybe it's just, you know, texting somebody or calling them on the phone, or, you know, whatever it is, dropping something off from the store because I was going, whatever it is, you know, I need to still do something for someone else every day to keep myself out of that self-pity. And, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's and again, it comes back to, you know, I'm being a grown up. I think, and this is just my personal opinion, I don't see this written anywhere, this is just my personal opinion, I think that as alcoholics, because we have a program of recovery, we should be setting a better example. Because my internet connection is unstable. I just got a notice that told me that, and I know that already. I feel like, you know, we need to set a better example in the world, because we might be the only big book that somebody ever sees. And so I know I'm not always good at that. I know that sometimes I'm really good at it and sometimes I'm mediocre, But that's, for me, what I've been really looking at lately is, you know, I need to remember that I have a program of recovery and a lot of other people don't. And so I know how. You guys have given me the tools and the skills to go through all sorts of adversity without taking it out on the other people, without picking up a drink. And so, you know, that's what I'm really trying to practice right now. And I don't know how good at it I'm doing, but that's what I'm really trying to practice right now. Yes. Dennis Thayer, do you want to, your volume is off, your mute is off. Do you want to talk? I'm guessing no.
No, thank you.
Thank you, Dennis.
No, thank you.
Anyone else?
Terry, I have a couple of questions.
Can you hear me? All right.
Who is that?
Shocking.
Okay. When you're sharing about your 10th step, one of the things I wanted to know is, you know, Beverly's here, and so did your sponsor, when you sat down or when you are sponsoring somebody, do you have them do a written 10th step? Did that come across?
No, because it doesn't tell me. Yeah, because it doesn't tell me I need to do that. If they're gonna write it down, if they need to write it down, chances are they're gonna need to do a little more in-depth work. But that's just me.
When I was taught,
that's it, Kevin. You don't have a follow-up to that.
The way I was taught to do a 10th step, my sponsor took me through page 86, where it asked certain questions. You know, where it says, you know, we go over our plans for the day. We ask God. I just lost it.
Yeah, so, but that's step 11.
Yeah, but where it says that, were we selfish? Were we dishonest? Were we afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person? I was told that I had to write a positive and a negative for the day. I mean, so one of the things that I did that was where I was able to use my character asset of mine in my life and take, that's how you were describing, you know, like we may be the only big book that somebody sees, and we may be the only example of Alcoholics Anonymous that somebody else sees. I was told to answer those questions for like 30 days. And what it did for me is it taught me how to do a 10th step in the fact that I knew which questions to ask myself, and then I could do it without writing it down. And sometimes I had to look for patterns because, you know, like you use the example of driving, and, you know, you go every day, you know, you drive every day, and there's just stupid drivers. They're just stupid. They're all stupid. So when I shared that, you know, most of these drivers are stupid, I had to take a look at my own behavior and say, am I one of the stupid drivers? Am I the one who, do I use my turn signal every time I change lanes? Do I, you know, and when I first got sober, I had one of those circle and triangles on my car. And my sponsor told me that if I wasn't driving responsibly, like a person who is a sober alcoholic, not just not drinking, but acting soberly, that I needed to take that off my car.
Cool. Yeah. So the questions that you just were talking about, that's in step 11. And basically what step 10 says is continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. So for me, and steps 10, 11, and 12 kind of for me go all together. I just didn't think, I just thought they were too important to do in one meeting. I felt that they really deserved, you know, three separate weeks because they're the big deal stuff. And if, you know, if we've been through the first nine steps, then this is where we are. This is where we all should be. And so, you know, for me, like I said, it's, you know, a 10 step, and a lot of times I'll do a 10 step with whoever I happen to be around. You know, if it's like, you know, if Jack's around and I say, you know, geez, do you think that I need to, you know, do something here, or, you know, it's Beverly or it's Jennifer or it's Susan, or, you know, it's whoever's around. Sometimes it's that I just need to tell somebody that, you know, I was a jerk and, you know, what do you think, you know, do I need to, you know, take some action here? So for me, a 10 step a lot of times is more, it's more, I guess it's more public. It's more a public step for me than step 11. Step 11 to me is about me and God, but step 10 is about me and another person and God, if that makes sense. Quiet bunch here.
Anyone else?
So Terry, when you're sponsoring somebody and they're doing their 10th step, is that a part of their like call-in when they call you that they need to tell you, you know, how their day was and, oh, everything was fine. Thanks. Bye.
Well, the women that I currently sponsor, I don't have any new women. I have women who've had other sponsors, and yet I'm still their sponsor. There, you know, when we're having a conversation, it's, you know, I've got one that does a check-in, and she calls pretty much every day, and I get to hear about her grandchildren and those kinds of things. And I say, you know, where are you at in the steps? Are you reading the big book? And have you called other people? And that's kind of where she's just at. And then I have other ones who will call up and go, you know, this is what happened at work today, blah, 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 blah. You know, do you think I need to do something? You know, do I need to take any action here? But I don't get a lot of the, you know, the daily calls anymore because they are through the steps. They're, you know, they're at 10, 11, and 12, most of them. So they don't need me as much, I guess. And so our conversations are on a higher level than just kind of a lot of the everyday stuff. They tell them all, you know, get a support group, get some litter mates, you know, get some other people to talk to when I've really pissed you off. So you can call them and say, do you know what you made me do now? Because that's important too. You know, we've got to have somebody else besides a sponsor to bounce things off of, because, you know, a sponsor isn't always available, and nor should we be, because we have a life too. And like Beverly said, it's important for all of us to let our sponsees know that we have a life too. And we do not belong on a pedestal, and God knows I sure do not. Did that answer it for you, Kevin?
That's pretty good. Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay. I don't see any more yellows.
No, nobody else,
I guess.
Well, let's see. We did pretty good. We made it to 6:51. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Good job.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you. Hi,
Debbie, Terry. Alcoholic.
Here's Debbie. Okay.
Hi, Debbie, Alcoholic. This Hi, is Debbie. My first visit on this group, and I'm really, really happy that I came on. And I'm going to continue to come back because I'm a lot newer in sobriety than you guys have a lot of time. I'm just, you know, 4 years in and still have a lot to learn and a lot of work to do, and I'm in the process of going through my steps all over again right now. So Terry, I really enjoyed everything you had to say. I haven't really had the opportunity to get to know you well, so mm-hmm. I'm really grateful I got on here today, and I want to thank you for everything you said. And hi
Thank
to
you.
All
it's
of
nice
you
to
people.
See you.
I don't know half of you, but all some right. of you I do.
Welcome.
That's okay.
That's all I got.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Come back.
I will.
This is Ken. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yep.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
We can hear you.
My name is Ken. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Ken.
Okay.
Let me tell you the only thing that comes to my mind when I think of making amends. Many, many years ago, when my kids were about 20, four of them, I was not a good person because of alcohol. And now it's many years later, they're all around 60, with 55. And two beautiful daughters are unmarried, and I blame myself. I have no question about it. People tell me, don't do that. But I look for ways to make amends. It's the only thing about men that ever goes through my mind. I don't know if there's a question there. But what I said, that's what I wanted to say.
Well, it's been my experience that if I'm blaming myself for someone else's life conditions, it's my ego. Because I will tell you right now, I have three grown children and they're all jerks. They're jerks, you know? And it's, I didn't do it. They didn't live with me and I didn't do it. And I can't undo it either. They're grownups. They blame me because their life sucks. I haven't lost a second of sleep over it because they're grownups and they get to make their own choices. And you know, they've been offered the opportunity for a counseling. Should they have a seat in a fellowship? Maybe. That's not my call. But they're grownups and they know that there is another way to live. If they choose to live it, they know that I'm an AA. They know that I've been sober for many, many years. So, you know, what has been taught to me is that if I'm taking responsibility for someone else's life, then that's just my ego. Cause like, I'm not God and they have one and it's not me. Jack, did you want to say something? I don't know if he does or not.
I don't know.
I thought he unmuted.
Guess not.
Okay, guess not. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
So do we have any announcements from membership?
The Alcanon Club is going to open back up on Monday. They're going to be open only for meetings, a half hour before, I believe, and a half hour after. You have to wear a mask. You have to social distance. And I don't know.